Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office, One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City. This is Scalzo and Brust. Presented by Bud Light on 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
Presented by Bud Light, NFL Draft Week here across ESPN Wisconsin. Turkey Toes, Ben Bruss, myself, Greg Scalzo, you, the Scalzo and Bruss family, calling us, texting us on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. That's 800-990-3776 on Twitter, at Scalzo and Bruss. Ben Bruss, entirely unsure where to buy a turkey, how to make a turkey. Some might say he is a Turk, but that's where we help him.
Does that feel good?
That is where we help him.
Did that feel good?
Larry chimes in with a picture of a turkey outside of his office right now.
Larry,
says,
kill
Benny,
it for
what's
me!
What's it worth to you?
Larry!
What's it worth? What will you give to him if he kills it and brings it to you?
Everyone's got a price. How much is a turkey? Market value.
Yeah, but he's got to do the gutting and everything himself. Plucking the feathers.
And
it's fresh.
I'll drop Larry off my mashed potatoes, the green beans, the gravy, the stuffing. The meal that I make with that turkey will be his gift.
Have you ever made any of that before?
No, but I can't imagine that I couldn't crush it.
A lot of confidence coming from the Ben Bruss camp. 800-990-3776. Let's go to Bill in Green Bay. Bill, what do you got for Benny?
Oh, man. Turkey toes, Benny. We got a new nickname, bud. Well, Thanksgiving this year's game, we got to get a wild turkey out on the Packers midfield with Benny chasing it around. We got to do that. We got Twinkle Toes Aaron Rodgers. We got all his antics. Now we got Benny's antics. It's awesome.
I mean, my stepmother was in shock when she saw my toes. She was like, those are the most disgusting things I've ever laid eyes on.
Thanks you for the call.
Wait, now we're talking about your toes.
Well, he called me turkey toes, and it made me think about how she was appalled that I don't think I told you this, Greg, my right longest toe, you know, my middle toe is my longest toe, that middle toenail fell off. How does that happen? I know you think my feet are disgusting. Strofe, are you in there? Why are you guys leaving me?
Well done, Benny. quite a job to throw it to Alex Strofe there out of nowhere.
Who might not
yes,
even
Ben,
be there?
You have some of the most disgusting toes I've ever laid my eyes on.
I get it from my dad. I had some good bonding time
with
my dad.
Don't blame anybody else.
What the heck?
What do you mean?
That?
I can blame him. He said he took a hockey puck to his toe, and then his same toenail that my falls off every year, his grows on a diagonal. It's disgusting.
So you think because your dad took a hockey puck to the foot, it genetically caused you to have the worst feet ever?
I mean, I think there's a causation and correlation there.
I feel like I got smarter while I was away, and I feel like I'm getting dumber now that I'm back on the show.
Is now dumber for having listened to
it. No, I know that obviously, like, the puck had more of an impact on the toenail going sideways. But you don't want to see a race car go sideways, because that means it's loose.
I mean, what are we doing here, guys?
What are you talking about?
I'm go like, ahead. Keep on going.
I'm going to tell everyone about Road America. It's amazing, Greg. Like, I've literally spotted...
Appleman in the orchard's trying to help you out, though. He says, Benny, you probably have a fungus issue with your toes. That's why your nails are falling off. He might be right, too, because the discoloration around your toes and the nails are disgusting.
The new toenail that fell off is just black underneath.
Yeah, you got to get that fungus issue figured out, buddy.
All right. But first, let me tell everyone about Road America.
Talk about feet. You drive a car with your feet.
Yeah. Gas pedal, baby. Yeah. So you get vroom vroom, Joshy. No, for real. Like, Road America is one of my favorite places to enjoy a race. I've been to over 10 racetracks in my life in different states. Martinsville, I've been to a short track, which is a half-mile paperclip. You got a 4.2-mile road course, the largest in North America, right here in your backyard, right outside Sheboygan in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. It is amazing. You can camp out. You can have brats for lunch, hot dogs for breakfast, and then burgers for dinner. That's what we did. And for dessert, you can have steak. Like that. Like it's the American dream is to go and camp out, rent an RV, and watch racing at Road America. That's what I've done in my lifetime. And I tell you, Turn 5 is where it got started. I've been in Turn 6, 7, and 8. I've been in Canada Corner. All the places in Road America are amazing. You can bring the entire family for affordable fun, free parking, free admission for kids 16 and younger. See the schedule at roadamerica.com. Road America, America's National Park of Speed. Vroom, vroom.
On Twitter, at Scalzo and Brust, is this draft the most important draft in Brian Gutekunst's tenure as Packers general manager? 60-40 says yes. I'm surprised it's not higher on the yes. And if you receive a wedding invite that says tuxes and gowns are welcome and so are suits and cocktail dresses, what are you wearing to the wedding? 14% say tuxes or gowns. 86% say suits or cocktail dresses. Yeah, it's about where I would expect it to be. Now, mind you, with over 150 people, there was only one person in a tux. Me. We'll talk to somebody who would never wear a tuxedo to a wedding. We will talk to Jason Wilde about the Green Bay Packers. It's draft week here on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
At Scalzo and Brust, check out the Long Island Laser, courtesy of our intern who put that together. I'm not sure he's the best graphic designer.
Yeah, it's not exactly Mozart. Why are you shocked?
Because he makes music.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts. What have we done with this?
Week here across ESPN Wisconsin. I'm Greg Scalzo. He is Ben Brust. Josh DiMaggio running the show at Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light. Very excited to be joined by our friend, our teammate. You hear him every day across these very stations from 9 to noon on Wilde and Tausch alongside Packer Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. He is Jason Wilde. Jason, how will Packer fans be feeling on Friday morning?
Hopefully they'll be scratching their heads and calling Wilde and Tausch asking why the Packers didn't draft a wide receiver in their first two picks.
Why are you hopeful that that's the case?
Because I think they could get really, really good value at some other positions if there's like a wide receiver run. And I think you can still get good players, as we have seen, at that position without drafting them in the first round if you get the right ones.
What positions do you think could be of value if there is a wide receiver run for the Packers?
Offensive line, defensive line, maybe an edge rusher falls. I also think that if there was, not that Kyle Hamilton?
Correct.
From Notre Dame?
Correct, yep. Notre Dame safety.
Like he's definitely not falling to 22, but if there's a secondary guy, a cover guy, a safety, like, it's interesting because of the wide receiver situation, we have all kind of altered our thought process to think of where the needs are immediately, which is not traditionally how we've thought, but that's kind of where we're at because there's such a glaring need at wide receiver, but both their safeties are in the last year of their contract. I don't get the feeling that they're going to give the fifth-year option to Darnell Savage. I could be wrong about that. And Adrian Amos is in the last year of his deal. Like, if some guy that you had rated, you know, in the top 12 is still sitting there at 22, even though he's not a wide receiver, like, I just think there could be a huge opportunity. And then I think at 28 there could also be a really interesting opportunity, because one of the things we've seen, and this happened with Teddy Bridgewater, even though it didn't work out very well for the Vikings, there's a big value in having that fifth-year option, especially for a quarterback. And obviously the Browns were in a position with Baker Mayfield where they had to make a decision. They gave him the fifth-year option, and now they're up a difficult creek because of it. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get into that 28 to 32 range, and if the quarterbacks have not gone yet, that there might be a team that wants to get that quarterback, wants to get him in the first round, wants to get the fifth-year option to be part of that, and somebody's going to want to come up and maybe take him 28th, which would allow you to maybe, for lack of a better term, extort a pretty good extra pick. I just look at their roster, and while everybody and their brother, as I said to Goody today, is talking about wide receiver for them, and he said, yeah, and they're talking for a while. Yeah, pretty much since March 17th when he traded the best wide receiver in football. I just think that there's going to be some possibilities to get really good players that, if you're focused solely on filling that wide receiver hole, you could end up taking a guy that maybe doesn't deserve to go there because you need a wide receiver on your roster.
Jason, what's a position, I think back to when they drafted quarterback, running back in round one and two, what's a position that, like, is way out of the blue that you could potentially see Goody going for?
Yeah, and, you know, Ben, I and this is not to pick on you in any way, because I hear this a lot about the running back one.
Yeah, Jamal Williams was going to come up.
Right, and Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones were both in the last year of their contracts, kind of like I was just saying about the safeties. And so, there's no doubt. You guys were on the air with Tausch, who has apparently weaseled his way out of the draft coverage, at least for a large part of the night, when they made the pick, right? And you guys all, I love the audio of that. That one definitely qualifies as out of the blue. But that, I think your question, Ben, and including the A.J. Dillon piece, really does kind of underscore the way the thought process has changed about filling needs through the draft. And it's not just the Packers, and it's not just us when we talk about the Packers. It's other teams as well that, you know, there seems to be a little less thinking ahead, at least in, maybe not in terms of the actual GMs, but certainly from the outside looking in. I think tight end is one of the sneaky, obvious needs that we're not spending a lot of time talking about. Like, Tonyan's not only coming off of an ACL, but he just signed a one-year deal, right? Like, if he comes back healthy and has a huge season, they might not be able to re-sign him. He might be too expensive. Josiah DeGuara, I'm not sold on. I don't think anybody else is, including probably even the coaching staff. And Mercedes Lewis is not a young guy. And Tyler Davis, who Tausch has decided his name is Smitty, he's not exactly a proven commodity. So that's a spot that might seem like out of the blue to some, but might not be the dumbest place to start, especially if we get into day two in the second or third round to grab one.
Talking with Jason Wilde here on Scalzo and Bross with the draft coming up on Thursday night. Jason, how active is Goody in this front office this week? How active will they be in the trade market?
Yeah, I think they're very active. They've already made, Goody said today, they've made a lot of, they've had a lot of conversations already this week, kind of setting things up. And I'm seeing on Twitter now that, and I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know what the impetus is for it, but I see a couple people tweeting about how the Packers are maybe trying to acquire Darren Waller from the Raiders, and that initially when they were in the Davante Adams trade talks, that there was some discussion about Waller being included in that trade. Of course, when you trade a guy who's a franchise tag player, you can't include players. It's against the rules. But first of all, that goes back to the discussion we just had about tight ends. But look, I think, and I asked Goody about this, because Ted Thompson's approach was let the board come to you. And there were very rare exceptions, Clay Matthews going up to get Clay Matthews being one of them. And Goody brought that up today, but it's mainly because it's the only real instance where he did it, that Ted was not going to trade up to get specific guys. Goody is not afraid to do that. And so whether it's packaging the 22nd pick with some later picks to try and go up and go after a specific wide receiver, or if it's packaging the 28th pick to try and go up somewhere right after 22 to take someone, he's not afraid to do it. If you guys remember, in the 2018 draft, he actually traded back with New Orleans from where they were supposed to pick and got an extra first rounder for the 19 draft, and then traded back up to 18 so he could take Jaire Alexander. So he's not afraid to move around. So I think he's probably working on a lot of different scenarios, and we'll see if any of them come to fruition.
Jason, if you received a wedding invite that said tuxes and gowns are welcome and suits and cocktail dresses as well, what would you wear to that wedding? And if there was 100 people, 150 people at that wedding, how many people do you think would wear tuxes?
I would wear the same attire that I wore to the pre-grand opening of the Steinhoffels here in Green Bay, my favorite University of Oregon hoodie and some Nike running pants. And do you own a tux?
I do.
Greg does. I do not.
Oh, major respect. I neither own one nor want to. So do you want to wear the tux, or do you want to be told that you in a suit will be like most of the folks that go?
Jason, this is from the wedding of last week when Tasha and I were both out of town. I showed up as the only person at the wedding in a tuxedo. The only one out of 150 people. The only one that wore a tuxedo. And it leads on the invitation with tuxes and gowns are welcome. So are suits and cocktail dresses. So as a guy that owns a tux, I'm like, what else am I going to wear? You wear it when it says tux on the invitation.
You look like
a dork.
Let
me rock the tux. I didn't. I actually look great. But I was the only one in a tuxedo.
I have more respect for you now than I ever have.
Just because he had a tux?
No,
he wore the same tux from his wedding.
You did what you thought was the right call. It wasn't, but you did what you thought was the right call, and I respect that.
Was the groom in a tux?
The groom was not. He was in a three-piece suit, which is probably a little dressier than a tux. But, he was not in a tux either. Unbeknownst
to
me.
You were better dressed than the groom.
I don't want to go there because the groom looked fantastic. I was the second best dressed, I will say.
Am I allowed to ask who this wedding? Tausch didn't tell us who it was for. I didn't know you were there, too.
Oh, yeah, it was a good friend of ours in Madison, and we had a whole big crew down there. We had a blast, but I went all out. I had the suspenders going. I had the bow tie going. Like, I was in a James Bond-esque tuxedo, which I do wear remarkably well, and it still fit me, which I was very happy about. But I was just shocked that I knew I would be on the overdressed side. I knew Tausche wasn't going to be whipping a tux out, but I figured there would be a small group of people that were wearing tuxedos. There wasn't. It was just me, Jason. Just me.
Am I the only one that's aware of the fact that you didn't answer the question?
Whose wedding it is?
Yes.
This was for our old party for Buck and Honey's, Tommy Anderson. Tommy Anderson. You know Tommy.
Congratulations to Tommy. Yes. Great guy.
Yeah, upstaged by Greg Scalzo.
Yeah, well, that's...
He was not upstaged by me. I will say that. He was not. And you know, if you know him,
yeah,
he was so happy that I was wearing a tuxedo.
I'm sure he loved it. He's just like, this is amazing.
It goes to the seriousness of the event.
Look at you.
It went to the seriousness and how much that event meant to me that I would wear a tux for it.
Oh, goodness. I love it.
How much would it cost us to convince Tausch to wear a tux? To be with you as the tuxes in arms.
A significant amount, I would say. I would venture a lot of Tito's. Jason, I'm sure we'll be hearing plenty of you across these airwaves leading up to the NFL draft. Is there anything else we should know as we talk about it the rest of this week?
You should know how to cook a turkey, from what I hear.
That's part of the, yeah, I mean, it's on my list of things to learn. I haven't hosted Thanksgiving yet. I got time.
Well, it was just the fact that Ben didn't think it possible to cook a turkey in an oven.
I'll say this, Ben. I don't think I could do it well either, so I would just defer to somebody who's better at it.
No, see, I take this as a challenge as a good cook to expand my notepad on my iPhone to add turkey to
turkey
the list.
Turkey party.
Yep, turkeys to the list.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch, weekdays 9 to noon across these very stations. Big thanks to Jason for joining us here. He doesn't want him to take a wide receiver in the first round, and I'm not entirely sure I disagree with him, but I do want to keep talking NFL draft. Plus, Ben Bruss has to get Robo Ump take off of his chest. It's been eating at him all day.
It really has. Baseball Benny is here.
KC in Summit texts into the show, 800-990-3776, says, if you own a tux, and a tux is an option, you wear a tux. And that is spoken like a class gentleman, KC in Summit. Well done. We'll get back to the NFL draft coming up next on Scalzo and Bruss, presented by Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Bruss.
32 degrees.
Well, I was off by 5 degrees. Why is that so funny?
It's one of the most basic facts you could possibly have.
You think I care? Like, I just, if I want something to freeze, I put it in the freezer. I don't care what temperature it's at.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Bruss podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think around here you guys know, I mean, you know our history here with receivers specifically in the second round and stuff. So I think that's always part of the equation. I think it's a really good, and Ted always used to say, it's you got to have some pass catchers around here. And that whether that's tight ends, running backs, receivers, you know, you got to have guys who can catch the ball. So I think certainly that's a big part of how we look to build our team. But I do think the guys that come from more pro-ready systems have it a little bit easier.
That Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, the spotlight on him all week long as he's got more ammunition than he's ever had to attack the NFL draft. 2 first round picks, 2 second round picks, of course picking up 1 in each round after trading the best receiver in the NFL, Devontae Adams, earlier this offseason. Scalzo and Bruss presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. Get into the show on Twitter at Scalzo and Bruss. Call us, text us, 800-990-3776. Unfortunately for me, I don't think that this is the draft where you want to have 4 picks in the top 2 rounds, because I don't think there's the guy that you can maneuver up to get and feel great about. Like, I think that you have to acknowledge that in an ideal draft world, you would want to take 2 first or first and a second, and you'd want to find your guy and go and get them. I don't think this draft has that guy, and I think Jason Wilde did a nice job as he joined us last segment in talking about that. The fact that, yeah, there's good wide receivers at the top, but there's more parity across this wide receiver draft class than there is a top-heavy stud. There's not that lock like there has been over the last 10 or 15 years when looking for a number one wide receiver. There's really nothing close to that in this draft.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Brian Gutekunst is, the more he talks, the more he kind of makes it clear. And just based off of history, right? Like, he's going to do what he thinks is best. Even like they're trained as general managers to think beyond short term. And when I say short term, 1 to 2 years. Like it just is. Like that is what the draft is ultimately for, to find guys that are going to fit within your organization so you can have them develop and grow and continue to be successful. And yes, a big piece of the pie is that quarterback position that will ultimately have to be addressed at some point, because it just, the more and more that Aaron Rodgers gets extended and the more and more that we hear them talk about Jordan Love needing preseason reps still, doesn't give me confidence that he's that guy. So would I be shocked with the resume that Gutekunst has from 2018 on of how he's drafted? I mean, cripes, he's drafted a long snapper and a punter. You know, like he drafts for what he thinks is a need for his team for the future. And I do think that the wide receiver position is a position group that they're going to look at heavily. But again, if they don't think that their guy is at the right position where they can, where they want to go get something, then they're going to do what's best available for their team, what they think is best long term. And that was Jordan Love in 2020. And that could be, to Jason's bully point, a offensive lineman, an edge rusher, a defensive lineman this year. It could be just value outside that wide receiver position that they find earlier in the draft.
Do want to give a shout out to our friends at American Family Insurance. They understand that buying your first home can seem complex. That's why they offer a digital home quoting tool that makes choosing insurance simple. You'll be more in control to be able to build your own policy, to give you that confidence and control to select an insurance package that meets your specific needs. But it's not just on the front end that they help you. It is especially on the back end. When something goes wrong as a first time homeowner, we say that the unexpected is inevitable. No matter what you think, no matter how great the house is, something's going to go wrong eventually, and you want somebody to have your back when it does. And I say somebody very specifically because at AmFam you get a local American Family insurance agent, somebody you build a relationship with, somebody you build rapport with, somebody you build trust with, so that when something inevitably goes wrong in your home, you're able to get that claim taken care of and over delivered on. Plus, when you protect both your home and auto with American Family, you can save up to 28%. Yesterday, the entire baseball world converged upon Angel Hernandez, perhaps the worst referee in all of the games. Not just baseball, like umpire. All of the games in all of professional sports. I'm not calling him an umpire, Josh. He is a referee, because I'm not just taking baseball. I'm taking the entirety of sports, from curling officials to tennis officials to basketball officials. Angel Hernandez is probably the worst. And yesterday, Kyle Schwarber picked him up, put him in his pocket, and unleashed a fantastic tirade that has many, including our very own Homer, Steve the Homer True, begging for robo-umpires. However, on the other side of that, donning his cape for Angel Hernandez, I give you Betting Baseball, Ben Brust.
I mean, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous that everyone's like, we need robo-umpires. Well, guess what? If you had robo-umpires, we wouldn't have that gem of an experience last night on Sunday Night Baseball, and no one would be talking about baseball. I loved everything about what transpired in the Brewers-Phillies game. I had a chance to watch it develop, not just from that last at-bat from Schwarber, but throughout the game, watching him try to figure out where the strike zone was. It was amazing. And it all boiled up to the fact that he got thrown out at the end, and he went to the left side, he went to the right side. Well, guess what? If Angel Hernandez is not an umpire or a referee, whatever you want to call him, it would have just been Sunday Night Baseball, and no one would be talking about baseball. I had fun. I saw Schwarber with emotion point at the side of the plate, point at the other side of the plate, point up high, point at both benches, saying, Angel Hernandez, everyone thinks you suck. He might suck. Hey, but hey, Kyle, maybe if you know he's got a wider strike zone and it's very inconsistent, protect the plate a little bit better. I love the human element. I love the idea that there is a human error in baseball. If we make the most boring sport in America right now more boring with robot umpires, nobody's going to watch it. Keep the drama, keep the umpires, keep the crappy balls and strikes, because it gets some emotion out of people, and I had fun watching Sunday Night Baseball last night. Closing argument.
Katie Casey saw all the games. That is Benny Baseball, rooting for errors, rooting for umpire errors, missed calls, simply so that players and coaches can react to it. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and also adjust to it. Adjust to it. Human error.
There is no adjust to it.
Yeah, adjust, expand your strike zone. Swing at everything. I mean, that's
God,
a little extreme.
You don't even believe what you're saying.
Yeah, I do believe what I'm saying. Like, he's missing some by, like there's one egregious call by 6 inches, which is a little bit above average, I'd like to think.
I think what's happening is Ben doesn't like baseball, and people who like baseball want to make sure that the integrity is there, that people don't miss calls. It's the same thing that's happened with hockey forever. Casual hockey fans will say they should fight more. There should be more hitting. There should be more of that. And actual hockey lovers will say, no, cut the fighting out. It's not a part of the sport. Ben Brust, you're saying, I want more of the fighting. I want to see more benches clear. I want more people getting ejected.
Yeah.
More people should. You just want drama in the game, because baseball for you, as you said, is boring, because baseball is not an enjoyable sport for you to sit down and watch, for you to invest your time in. So you need all the bells and whistles, all the controversy, all the drama that surrounds it, because that is how it entices you as the casual fan. My question then to you is that, like, is that fair? Are you basically saying I would rather see chaos than baseball? Do you think your opinion should even matter since you don't appreciate the baseball on its own?
Of course my opinion matters. My opinion matters to everything and everything in this world, Greg. When there were bad referees when I was playing basketball, you have to adjust to the bad referees, adjust to the crappy umpire. Like again, I get that he was horrible, but you still have to just then widen where you think Angel Hernandez might be calling a strike. Like, change your approach a little bit, Kyle Schwarber. Again, I loved everything
You're saying literally just swing at everything.
No, because it's not that egregious. Yeah, is it bad? Sure. But clearly it's it's something that's consistently that he's doing, that like it boiled up to a point where he got mad. It's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. He's doing it all game. Fix it, Kyle Schwarber.
But
I don't get your latter point. I understand your initial point, which is I want people to screw up because I want more chaos and I want more drama. The second point doesn't make sense. You're blaming the players for not being able to predict a wild strike zone that, to your very own point that you just made, like, wasn't consistently bad. It was all over the place bad. It was high, low, outside, inside. I mean, the guy just doesn't know how to call balls and strikes. It's been like that for a decade now. And the MLB umpire union is just so strong that there's nothing they can do about it. He's a tenured professor. There's nothing that he can do about it. Benny, tell us about our friends, the official food delivery partner of the world champion Scalzo and Brust family, and of course, the world champion Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, they throw a strike every time in the zone by delivering food right to my door.
Right down the middle.
Way to take the lead in with the world champion Milwaukee Bucks and then talk baseball.
Guys, I'm having a struggle.
The Bucks
today.
In the playoffs or something?
World champion Milwaukee Bucks. Yes, I was down. You know what? This is actually good. I'm glad you brought that up. Because guess who did? I talked about it on Friday. I knew this was going to be a scenario. I called the game for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Bucks Radio Network Friday and Sunday. Give me a quick cool because I deserve it.
Cool.
I hate giving him cools when
I
ask for
it. I know, when I ask for it, it just makes you cringe.
No, hold on, Joshy. I want you to cut that laugh, which might be the most punchable laugh in the history of radio.
Well, guess what? I ordered some Eat Street for delivery because I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to clean. I had nothing in my place, and it was an amazing way to come back to a Sunday to relax and put my feet up. So connect yourself with local bars, taverns, and restaurants, and download that app and order food and enjoy it by Eat Street delivered right to your door. They are the best people. Woo, baby.
We love Eat Street. You love Eat Street. We all love Eat Street together. So as Benny said, download the app. I know I'll be ordering Eat Street tonight. We'll come back. We'll jump back on the NFL Draft Plus. Talk with you, the Scalzo and Brust family, 800-990-3776. It is Scalzo and Brust presented by Bud Light.
I hate giving them.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo and Brust.
Do you know what a woolly mammoth is?
I do. I saw it in 10,000 BC, the movie.
I've never even heard of that movie.
I don't understand how his references are always so obscure. Everything in his brain comes from the wrong place. It's always filed in the wrong spot.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts. In my mind when
she's not right there beside me. Here's DeRozan fading and fire. This time he misses it. Rebound just saved from going out of bounds by Giannis as he gets it back to Holiday. So an early miss from DeRozan, who was red hot last time. Portis on the other side drains the three from the left wing.
That Dave Kane and our very own Ben Brust on the call yesterday on the Bucks Radio Network as Milwaukee takes two in Chicago against the Chicago Bulls. And Ben with that just laugh right there.
Is that
just the laugh?
Is that the same laugh that I gave you and Joshy?
No, the laugh you gave me and Josh, he was far more infuriating than the laugh on that broadcast. Although I did hear that you talked about your dictionary on the call yesterday.
I did talk about the dictionary. Josh is not listening. He wants to hear the dictionary clip, I think.
Sorry, I got a call there from somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I figured would probably transpire. So
no harm, no foul.
Well, no harm.
Except
three fouls. In this case.
To me, it was no harm because there was no flagrants. Nobody got a flagrant two. There wasn't a fight. It was just a bunch of, you know.
That's the same, though,
yeah,
right?
Just a little chippiness.
No harm, three fouls. Isn't that where it started?
No harm, three fouls. I think we got a new phrase.
So
add it to my dictionary.
The Ben Brust. We got to come up with a title for your dictionary. And I don't know if we ever got a full answer. What was it? It was three games
comfortability.
Ago. Comfortability. Was it uncomfortability?
No. He's trying to find some comfortability.
Comfortability. Yeah. So dictionary, I just don't know if I can count that. That's what our engineer, Ryan Elliott, found for you. He was trying to come to your defense, but I just cannot grant.
I'm not asking you to grant me anything.
Yeah, because I think the Ben dictionary would also say it's a word. That's what matters.
So that's all that matters.
The free throw is good from Levine.
No harm, three fouls.
Ben Brust crushing it on the Bucks Radio Network. A good way to send us off. We've got On the Tee coming up next in Milwaukee with Stephen Watson and Nolan Murphy. Prep Mania Studio Show with Dennis Semrau and our very own Alex Strofe in Madison.